I've got a, well, I'm going to call him a renaissance man because he does lots of stuff. He's a businessman. He's helped set up a family-run business called Bags of Rags, which repurposes stuff that otherwise would be going to the tip for use in, well, as rags, I guess. He's also a documentary maker. His name is Danny Mulholland. He's on the line now. Kia ora, Danny.
Kia ora, Brian. Good evening.
Lovely to have you on. How's Rags of Bags going in this COVID-19 crisis? Is that good news for your business or bad news?
It's actually good news because there's a lot of wiping going on.
Sorry, I shouldn't laugh, but yes, wiping. Yeah, everybody.
Yeah, there's surfaces to be cleaned, and we've got the product for them. Yeah, it's just fortuitous. It's what we chose to do. A bit of good luck, combined with a product that people like because it's recycled.
Now, tell me, where do you get what sort of stuff that would be going to the tip ends up in your rag bag?
Basically, stuff from industry, like hospitals and industry, that doesn't sort of meet industry standards. Like once it's done its life.
Such as? I mean, are we talking about soft plastics or various kinds of paper?
No, it's all basically cotton-based towels, cotton blankets, sheets, flannelette, stuff like that. It's all like mostly bedding and toweling.
And is a lot of that stuff going to go, because I've always assumed, even though I've never been, it's always been difficult to find a rag collection bin where I live, but I've always assumed if you can find one, it will go back and be reused somehow. Is that not the case necessarily?
What I found out was that it used to be the case with those clothing bins, but now the majority of those clothes go to places like Save Mart, and then that's the sort of top line stuff, and then the sort of lower quality stuff gets sold in big bales to places like Papua New Guinea.
Really?
And then, because there's quite a bit to do with actually processing rags. So I think some of the bigger boys in the games bring them in shipping containers from overseas, rags already pre-made. But the clothing bins get repurposed as clothing. I'm sure some of it still does go to rags, though. But the stuff that we get is of a higher quality, and that's sort of how we got our market share.
And how do you collect your stuff?
In a van. I bought a Hiace.
Right, but how do you ring up? Do you go to the hospitals and say, what have you got, and pick it up? Is that how it works?
What happened was my uncle was running the Wellington Hospital in the 90s, the Wellington Hospital Laundry, Tommy Mulholland. And my dad went in there and seen that there was an element of waste, and they got together, and my dad built up a little rag run. And then when the Wellington Hospital, that went on for until around 2010, 2012, and then the Wellington Hospital Laundry shut. And then there's a big laundry up in Palmerston, and that does all the Allied Laundry, that does all the hospitals in the Lower North Island. So I went and approached them, and they were like, "Yeah, we do. We've got a lot of waste. And you know, we'd love to help you, and we'd love you to help us." And I built up a huge, all of a sudden, I probably had about 10 times what I was used to dealing with. But we're talking tons, you know, up to half a ton a week.
It's a big
amount of rags.
And is one van enough to carry all that stuff now, Danny?
What I did was I bought a shipping container and I put it on a farm in the Manawatu. And I use that as my surplus, and then I process it at the back of my laundromat and I tie dye the rest.
And this brings me to the question, what are you processing? Well, at least, how do you process it?
It's like a fabric cutter. I've got a fabric cutter, like a skill saw that cuts fabric.
And you're cutting towels and stuff? And
yeah, non-stop. I've got RSI.
Really?
Yeah.
I would have thought you'd have some kind of machine that mixes all the rags up and creates a new fibre that you roll out and then you cut.
No, there is talk of that. I went to a sustainable business meeting network, and there were people there that were interested in like sort of breaking it down again and like rebuilding it, because you know textile waste is a huge polluter. You know, it's a massive problem. You know, so there was people that do that, but no, what I do is I get the rags in, I grade them into different sorts, because some people just want cotton sheets because it's got like less lint, and I like engine reconditioners love them, printers love flannelette. Mechanics love towels to soak up grease. And then painters. The big thing that happened for me was trying to get rid of was I went to Resene, and they liked what I had in terms of the quality. And then we built this designed. We got given all these pillowcases as part of the rag, and we screen printed them out with my friends out at Muzzy Shirts and Petone, and we screen printed the pillowcases, put a drawstring in the top of the pillowcase, and made like a duffel bag from a pillowcase, and that went into all the Resene stores, and that was hugely popular.
Painters are using what the rags from that to do all the stuff that they might need with brushes and that kind of carry on.
Yeah, it's a 2.5 kilo amount of rags inside a pillowcase with a drawstring.
However, what you said before at the start of the interview is also people are using the rags you're repurposing just to wipe surfaces.
Correct.
Are you keeping up with demand now, Danny?
It's fine. It's fine. They're building. I'm sure a lot of you, the listeners, are aware of on Facebook there was a page started during the COVID-19 thing called New Zealand Made Products. And I got a post on that, and it built up. It built the customers and the awareness of the product. Prior to that, I was sort of, there's a new market developing with the amount of wiping that's going on.
Danny, I heard you said before that actually fibre textile waste is a big pollutant. I'd never thought of that before. I think about plastics, but not textiles.
Yeah, well, it's interesting too, because I've been in the laundromat. I grew up in the laundromat game. Like my parents started laundromats in Wellington in 1986. The first one was in Newtown, and we still have one in Haitaitai. And what we noticed was, with the advent of cheap imported clothes, people are washing a lot more, but they're throwing them away. Like, we can remember, you know, hand-me-downs, and we had less clothes, but they were of a higher quality. Now we've got more clothes, and they're more disposable, and they end up in tips.
I've got to ask you about your other line of business, which is making documentaries. Danny, how do you manage? Because it sounds to me like the whole rags business is pretty labour-intensive. Where do you find the energy to make documentaries that go on television?
I'm actually a DJ and editor by trade, and I've sort of fallen into the family business later on in life. But I picked up this project with a friend of mine called Amelia Costello, who is Pixie Williams' daughter. And Pixie Williams was the singer of Blue Smoke, the first Aotearoa's first homegrown hit record, and completely made in New Zealand as well, from composition to manufacture. And so last year was the 70th anniversary of Blue Smoke. So Amelia and I put together a project that included a documentary and a remaking of all of Pixie's songs as a commemoration and celebration of the pioneers of Aotearoa music.
And that went on air, as I said a few minutes ago, that was on Māori television on Anzac Day?
Yes, it was the Anzac Day special, because it was written by Ruru Karaitiana, and it was a Māori battalion song. So that was the time of the Anzac Day broadcast time.
He was just 17 when he wrote the song, wasn't he?
Yes, he was. He was, and he wrote it in Māori initially as well.
Did you speak to any of his descendants?
Yes, Ruma. I spoke to Ruma. Was a big part of the documentary. His son. Yeah.
Are you going to make some more documentaries, Danny? Or is the rag trade taking over now?
I think when the right thing comes along, Brian, I'll do it again. But like you were sort of saying, it did take a lot, because I run a laundromat. I have two children, and I was making a documentary on weekends and evenings and whenever I could get a thing. So I'll take my time. I'll choose the next projects wisely.
Yeah, because I'm thinking, you know, this is quite a lot of work. You say you're a dad to two kids as well.
That's correct, yeah.
Did you ever imagine, Danny, that you would end up, maybe you did because your father was in the laundry business, that you'd end up being a rag man?
My dad has got the saying that he goes, there's money in muck, son, you know?
Oh, yeah, I know that one.
You know, I would never consider anything below or beneath me, or never look past any opportunity, you know. And I think there's I think there's a nobility in any sort of work, and I think that we've seen this during this, you know, during what's happened, you know, that there's a nobility in for anyone that wants to that wants to show up and work, and there's money in surprising places.
Danny, it's been lovely talking with you. Have a great evening. Thanks for joining us tonight.
Hey, thanks very much, Brian. Take it easy. Ka kite anō.
You too. Ka kite. It's Danny Mulholland. He's a documentary maker. He's also the founder of Bags of Rags. It's his family-run business, which repurposes textiles that otherwise would be going to a landfill for rags and all sorts of, well, wipeable situations.